You can look at other firms without your firm ever knowing. What gets advisors caught is almost never the looking. It's two or three careless habits that leave a trail on rails the firm owns, and one move that turns a private search into a lawsuit. Today, I'll show you how to explore properly and where the actual line sits. Quick note before we get into it. Advisor Growth Lab is not a broker-dealer, and everything here is for educational purposes only. It's not individualized legal, tax, or investment advice. Every advisor's situation is different, so treat this as a map, not a set of directions. If you've been curious enough to open a competitor's website, but not ready for anyone at the branch to know it, this one's for you. We'll cover what your firm can genuinely see, the two things that create real legal exposure, who owns your clients on paper, and the order the whole thing has to happen in. Start with visibility, because most of the fear here is aimed at the wrong target. Your firm finds out through channels it controls. That's it. Compliance monitors, firm email, firm messaging, the customer relationship management system, the CRM, and activity on firm-issued laptops and phones. That's not paranoia. It's their job, and often their regulatory obligation. What they generally cannot see is a call on your personal phone, a note from your personal email, or a coffee you have on a Saturday. So the advisors who get found out usually hand over the evidence themselves. A recruiter's email sitting in the work inbox, a search run on the firm laptop at lunch, a calendar invite with another firm's name in the title, and one caution worth taking seriously. Personal webmail opened in a browser on a work machine can still be captured. The clean rule is physical separation. Your search lives on hardware and accounts the firm doesn't own and doesn't administer. And I want to be careful how we frame that. Moving your research off the firm's systems isn't concealment. Nothing improper is happening. Due diligence on your own time, on your own property, is the same separation between personal and firm business a compliance officer would tell you to keep anyway. Discretion here is about controlling the timing of your own decision. Now to the part that actually creates exposure. Two things turn an ordinary search into litigation, and both happen before you resign. The first is soliciting your clients while you're still an employee. You're allowed to think about a move. You're allowed to research firms, take recruiter calls, and sit down with people. You're not allowed to ask clients to follow you, tee up paperwork for them, or work a list of who's coming with you in a way that reaches them. Every one of those conversations waits until after you've resigned and you're operating inside whatever your agreement or the protocol permits. The second is client data. Don't copy it. Don't email it to yourself. Don't photograph a screen. Don't export a report. That's the single line with the most serious consequences attached, and advisors cross it casually, usually while trying to be organized. Two smaller rules ride alongside those. Don't sign anything from a prospective firm, an offer letter, a term sheet, even a non-disclosure agreement, before a securities attorney has read it, because those documents carry commitments and clawbacks of their own. And don't tell colleagues you trust. The smallest circle is the safest circle, and one offhand comment at the branch travels further than you'd believe, which raises the ownership question behind all of it. Who owns your clients? If you're an employee at a wirehouse or a broker-dealer, the uncomfortable answer is that the firm owns those relationships on paper. You built them. You serviced them. Contractually, they belong to the firm. And that's exactly why soliciting before you leave gets treated as taking the firm's property. It's also the logic behind every non-solicit clause you've ever signed. An owner of a registered investment advisor, an RIA, is in a different position because that person owns the enterprise and the client agreements outright. Knowing that changes how you explore. What you bring to a recruiter isn't a client list. It's your trailing production, your reputation, and the fact that clients choose their advisor once you've moved correctly. Frame your value that way, and you never have to touch the thing that could sink you. There's a related distinction worth knowing before you need it. Announcing is not soliciting. Once you've resigned properly, telling clients you've moved, where to find you, and that where they keep their business is entirely their call is generally permitted. Urging or pressuring them to follow you generally isn't. Informing, fine. Pushing, not fine. Your agreement and your counsel set exactly where that line falls. Now, the broker protocol, since it comes up in every one of these conversations. The protocol was created back in 2004, and the official protocol text spells out what a departing advisor may take. Client name, address, phone number, email address, and account title. Five fields for clients you personally serviced. Anything beyond that, account numbers, statements, other firm documents, is prohibited. And to be covered, you generally resign in writing to local branch management and leave the firm a copy of the client information you're taking. Here's what advisors get wrong about it. The protocol only works when both firms are signatories and some of the biggest names in the industry stepped in and then stepped right back out around 2017 and 2018. So if you assume the protocol protects you because you heard it protects everyone, you may be planning around a rule that doesn't apply to you. Verify both firms' membership before you build anything on it. If it turns out you're outside the protocol, you're not stuck. The analysis just moves to your paperwork, and three questions carry most of the weight. How broadly is your non-solicit written? How long is your notice period or garden leave? And whether anything bars you from even announcing the move. Get those three answered by a securities attorney, and you know your real freedom of movement. One more point before I wrap up, and it's the sequence. Line up your destination and your counsel first, resign properly second, contact clients third, run those in any other order, and you've handed the firm its case. And keep the resignation itself short and professional. You're not required to explain yourself or argue on the way out, and everything you say can show up later. Most advisors don't have a securities attorney on call. That's the point. Get the right specialist in your corner before you act, not after the letter is written. I put together a one-page checklist on doing this cleanly. What stays off the firm's systems, what you never touch, and the order of operations. It's free on our website at advisorgrowthlab.com. While you're there, the two-minute assessment shows you where you actually stand. Nobody gets notified. Look all you want. Just look from your own devices on your own time. Clear eyes first, the move second. I'll see you tomorrow.